Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chuck. Oh, it's good to be here, isn't it? Yeah, it's great to be here. Joined together in the house of the Lord, one body, growing, moving forward. I love it. It's a good place to be. Just pray with me, if you will. Almighty God, we love you. We're here for you. We're here because we want to be filled by you. We want to be sent by you. We want to be your hands and your feet. So Lord, I just pray as we get into your word, into the word, God, that your spirit would speak so clear through it. Our distractions would be removed, any distractions that I would provide or that this week has provided or those around us, whatever, God, that those distractions would be removed. And that your spirit would speak so clear to each heart, to each individual. And there would be change, God, lasting change inside of us. So we give you all authority, all reign, all power in this place. And we just praise you for what you are going to do right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You are our King. That was our last song, the last bit of the song there. You are our King. Isn't that awesome? We have a King. We have a King of Kings. We have an authority over us. I love that. Seems almost like, you know, because we know what kings can be like, oppressive kings, right? So it seems like that might not be a good thing. But I pray by the end of this service today, that you will have a greater desire for our King than you've ever had. And we're only going to touch, again, the tip of the iceberg of it. We're hardly going to get into how great our King is this morning. But we're going to try. We're going to try hard. See, the thing about a king is they're supposed to be beautiful. They're supposed to be majestic. And in our country here, we don't have a king yet. We have a queen. Whose life has been changed today because of what our queen has done for us? Right now, has she done something that has changed you as an individual? Likely not. Does she have a purpose? Absolutely. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be all for our queen. I'm just saying she's not really part of what we do. Right? She doesn't affect my moving, my going. Honestly, I'll just be honest. I probably think, and it's probably a good thing for your pastor to do, hey? I probably think about our queen maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months, and that's only because someone else has brought it up. She doesn't have a huge impact on my life. She matters. She's important. But I honestly don't even know. I had to Google what she did. I don't know. This isn't something we do. Now that being said, my grandparents knew. They got magazines sent to their house about the monarch, and they went through and they knew all this stuff, and they got so excited. And that was when my grandparents were alive. That's when Princess Diana was like alive still, and important and wonderful and all that kind of stuff. And all that, you know what I'm saying? And they got it, and they loved the monarch. For me, that's not where I'm at right now. And I fear that's how we often treat our King Jesus. Is, yeah, maybe there is one thing that he has done, you know, like our queen has done some stuff, the monarch has done some stuff to help establish our country, to make it what it is. Maybe our King Jesus has done some stuff in your individual life to establish you, but since that point you've forgotten. Or since that point you haven't been paying attention. Or since that point the King has been sidelined. Perhaps. Maybe. I'll be honest again. I do it every day. I sideline the King of Kings every single day. I do it. Every day I put God on the side and put something else in his place. I don't want to. This isn't a desire of mine. It's something I'm continually working on, but I do it. The king is only partial king to me. He only has partial reign of my life, and every single day I've got to wake up and say, God, I give you more. I want to give God more reign in my life because he is the king. Our king is awesome. We need to understand a bit more of how awesome our king is. So here's my question that I want you to answer for yourselves today. I've been working on this in my mind and in my heart all week long as this has been building. Are you willing to be disciplined enough to grow? Are you willing to be disciplined enough to grow? Okay. Hands up. Who loves discipline? Hey? Anybody? More or less, yeah. Sure, some really brave souls in the back there. We don't really love discipline. I'm not talking about getting disciplined, like attitude adjustments. I'm mostly talking about discipline, disciplining your bodies. Shoot, I love chocolate. We were talking about that this morning before everyone showed up. I love chocolate. I love milk chocolate. I'm going to say it. I love sugar and cocoa. God made sugar, cocoa, and hazelnuts for the sole purpose of us coming to the point of realizing where he could just say, when are they going to get it? When are they going to get that these are a combination? That's what God did. When he made them, he just said, these are meant to be together. Come on, people, figure it out. And then we figured it out, and he's like, yes, and I've been celebrating God every time I put a Toffifee in my mouth. I love it. Hey, aren't they great? They're wonderful things. What does this have to do with anything? I don't even remember what we were talking about. I got totally sidelined by chocolate. I love chocolate. Does anybody remember where we were going? Okay, I'm just going to look at my notes. Discipline, thank you. Thank you. Kathy was listening. I'm undisciplined when it comes to chocolate. I love it. But discipline is not a fun thing, is it? It's not fun to have to say no to chocolate. I love chocolate. It's not fun to have to say no to sleeping in instead of getting up and doing your exercise. It's not fun to saying no to all the things that distort us and misshape us. It's not fun saying no, because some of those things are fun. But are you willing to be disciplined enough to grow? There's something, if you want to know this king of ours, you've got to be disciplined enough to grow. I've got to be disciplined enough to grow. If this church is going to move from our here to God's there, we've got to be disciplined enough to grow as a body. We've got to be disciplined enough to grow as individuals. We're starting a new chapter in Cross Connection. And we've got to move forward. We've got to move forward. We've got to be disciplined enough to grow. We've got to have our eyes so focused on our King that we can't help but want to grow. Friends, we've got to move forward. God has something for this congregation. We are a light to this world. There are people that you all touch that nobody else can touch. There are people in this neighborhood that nobody else is going to care about apart from us being that light. Apart from us being shaped by the King of Kings into what he needs us to become so we can move forward. So we've got to be dedicated to grow. This right here is a core. I believe this church is going to grow. Perhaps in numbers. That's the hope. I do hope it grows in numbers. But this core right here, I pray that we become spiritual leaders so that when our church does grow in numbers, that we will be here ready to sustain that growth spiritually. So people aren't getting lost. so people aren't getting pushed aside, so people aren't getting missed, so we can bring everybody in. They're all cared for, that the body of Christ works together to build and to grow. So we've got to be committed to grow. We've got to be committed to grow. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 24 today. This is a psalm that is a good friend of mine. It's his favorite. And I called him up. Well, I guess I texted him. I texted him today or this week, and I just said, "Hey, man, tell me about Psalm 24. This has been kind of his life chapter. And so he texted me a lot of things that God has just taught him as he's gone over this passage and over this passage and over this passage. And I love it. I can't wait to share some of what he's shared with me, with you. And I can't wait to share with you what God has taught me. So we're just going to go through it. And in all of this, we're going to find the King. We're going to find him. Remember, we are in a sermon series. So our first sermon series, our first three sermons of this series have been primarily about relationship. Knowing who God is, knowing who we are, and then walking out in obedience. Right? So each one of you, as I said, our church is at a here, and we want to move to a there. Each one of you is at a specific here. Doesn't matter what phase you're at in your life, where you're at spiritually, God wants to move you to the next phase, to the next step. So we've talked about just knowing God. If that's where you're at, just getting to know God, get to know him. Spend that time getting to know him. And it doesn't matter where you're at in any phase of Christianity. It doesn't matter how deep you are in this. Getting to know God is huge. It's lifelong. This is our never-ending goal. And getting to know who you are, if that's where you're at, get to know who you are. Get to know who you are, what makes you as a child of God, why you have the personality you have, why you have the giftings you have. You matter. You matter. You matter as a child of the King so that you can then do what he has called you to do. It matters so much. So we're going to go through Psalm 24, kind of verse by verse. I can't wait. I'm just going to dive in. This is going to be good. I truly believe Jesus has something for us today. I truly believe that the Spirit of God is going to speak to us. It's up to us now to accept it. So verse 1 says this: "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in the earth is the Lord's. Everything in the earth. Okay, so let's talk about trees. Let's talk about flowers. How many kinds of flowers are there? Let's talk about bugs. We have the most creative God in the world. How many bugs has he made? Just different kinds. Birds. Have you seen birds? Fish. We went to a pet store this week, me and my kids. Just in a pet store, do you know how many kinds of fish there are? Thousands, it seems like. They're just colorful, let alone the ocean. Have you ever gone snorkeling and seen just thousands and thousands of fish? Everything is his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything. He has created it all. The way the clouds move, that's him. That's our King. Our King made those clouds move the way they move. Our King made the sun shine. The heat you receive from the sun, God gave us that heat. God gave us the warmth of a fire. God gave us all those things. He made that. God gave us the cold so we could appreciate the heat, right? And God gave us the heat so we could appreciate the cold. Man, bring on 15 and overcast. I love it. Yes. I don't need 30. No. 15. That is it. Hey? So God gave us this. All of this is his. This is his creation. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything is the Lord's. The world and those who dwell therein, everything, every being, you are God's. You are God's. You are God's. You are God's. I am God's. My dog is God's. He cares about it. He cares about the deer that roam. He cares about the birds that fly. All of this is his. He is the king of it all. He is the king of the clouds, the trees, the water. He's the king of you, me, and all the animals, all the birds, all the everything, every insect. He is the king of it all. This is his. He's got it in his hands. You might even say he has the whole world in his hands, right? He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got us in his hands. This is all his. He's the king. That king holds it in his hands. Do you believe this? Do you believe that the king has it? Because he has it. Scripture declares the king of kings is the king of kings. And he has the whole world and every being in his hands. He's got us. This is our king. He is mighty. How do I stand before a king like that? A mighty king like that. You know what he founded? Verse 2 says, for he has founded it, the earth, upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. God has built this kingdom. God was there. Remember Genesis? The Spirit of God was hovering over the seas, over the waters. And he took, that king of ours, took the waters and separated it and made land and shaped it and formed it and then separated the waters above from the waters below. Our king made it all. He made everything. Think about it. You're driving down the road and you see mountains. You see these big, beautiful trees with leaves that clearly that's the leaves Adam and Eve used. They're huge here. They're, like, we don't have leaves that big in Alberta. These are your leaves. They're the size of your face and bigger, twice the size of your face. God made all of this, right? God made it all. Do we overlook that? Do we forget how much God has made? I do. Do I forget that this building stands on the foundation of the earth that God gave us? Everything is sustained by God. This is our king. That's the kind of king we serve. Verse 3 says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Friends, do you get this? This king of ours that's so big, so vast, so large, so beautiful. Once you start to grasp how big this guy is, How beautiful he is. How mighty he is. You can't help but ask yourself, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall go up the mountain of God? Who shall go and be with him? Can I go? Can I go and stand where he is? That king? I was a plumber. I put a few plumbing systems together. But that's nothing compared to what he's done. To be able to build all of this. Have you seen the rivers? Have you seen how mighty the rivers? This past week, we drove past the ocean. I just saw a glimpse of the ocean. Just out of the corner of my eyes, we were driving. I there's the ocean. I had to keep driving because I don't want to run into somebody, right? So I look, but I still know that ocean goes for thousands of miles and is miles deep. It's unfathomable how beautiful and big this thing is. He's made all this, and who am I to ascend his hill? To go up and be where he is? Who am I to ascend the hill? And who am I to stand in his holy place? Who am I? How can I stand before a king like that? How can I go and become? I'm just a servant. And here's the thing, Psalm 24 goes further. In verse 4, it says, it answers the question, who can go stand? Well, this is who. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has clean hands. Do you know what this isn't referring to sanitization, right? This isn't referring to like soaping up. This is referring to your deeds, your actions. This is referring to the sins that you've done, that I've done. We've got dirty hands, folks. We've got dirty hands. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? Well, he who has clean hands and now a pure heart. The reason why I've been doing these wrongful deeds, these sinful deeds, is because my heart is not clean. How many of you are in the same boat? How many of you are in the same boat where your heart's not clean? The reason why you can't ascend the hill, the reason why you can't stand before his holy throne is because your heart isn't clean, because your hands are dirty. What are we going to do? We can't. We can't stand. This is our King. I want to go be with him. I want to be with our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. I want to be with this King. But I can't go before him. Not with dirty hands. Not with a filthy, unpure heart. And listen to this. In verse 4 it goes on. Those who do not lift up their soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Specifically just nailing liars. Has anyone spoken a lie? Has anyone been deceitful? Maybe telling a half-truth or even a three-quarter truth. Right? Like so close. 7/8, you know? 15/16. It's almost complete truth. But there's still that sliver of lie in there. Those lies destroy us. We are Christians. We are supposed to be people of our word. What we say we will do, we'll stand behind it. But then there's, how can we do that? How can we stand before a God who's that holy, a King who is that holy, who's made all that he has? How can we stand before him with deceit, with lies? We can't. We can't stand before him. But I got good news for you, friends. Can I tell you my good news? Can I tell you my good news? Yeah? Let me tell you this good news. Let me tell you something that's amazing. Something that's going to change your life. Something that's going to take you from your here to God's there. Can I tell you? This good news is good news. This good news will change your life. This good news will make you whole. This news will take your dirty hands and clean them. It'll take your unpure heart and make it pure and clean and totally changed. This good news will take you straight up the hill of the Lord. This good news will put you right at the throne room, vertically. Not horizontally, not prostrate, not laying down, but vertically. You can stand boldly coming before the throne. This good news is about my friend Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. This King knows how to serve his people. This King knows how to take care of those he has created. Everybody is his. I'm his. You're his. Everybody's his. All that this earth has is his. This King of ours. Whether we choose to admit he's our King or not, he is our King. This King of ours did something wonderful one day. He willfully stepped down from his throne and took on human form. He came and dwelt with man. He came and sat and became one of us. Oh, guys, Jesus became one of us. This is so important. The King of Kings stepped out of his position of authority and came down and became one of us. He was tempted the very same way we've been tempted. But one difference, our King did not sin. Our King did not make his hands dirty and his heart impure. He didn't do it. All for the sole purpose that he could die for us, so that our King could die for us. This is now service, friends. This is it. This is what service is. You want to know how a king ought to serve? You want to know how Jesus serves? He serves. This is how he reigns, by serving. He reigns by serving. Oh, guys, it's so important. Oh, it's so important. Only then, in verse 5, will we receive blessing from the Lord. See, in this passage, this is King David talking. He didn't have what we have. David didn't have what we have. He didn't have the access to the throne that we have. And maybe David, and David did have a special anointing on him. He was set apart for God. God had given him a measure of his spirit. But those around him didn't have it. Those around him didn't have it. Friends, we have access that David could only have dreamed of. We have an access to the throne room that the prophets didn't even comprehend as they were writing it. They were going, how is this even possible? I'm sure they were writing down what the Spirit of God was telling them, and they're going, how is this even possible for people to be able to come before the King of Kings like this? Impossible. Ridiculous. Not impossible. Not ridiculous. Totally possible. And praise God for it. Friends, this is the good news. You want to stand before the King of Kings? I do. I want to go to the one who has made it all. That has made every leaf different from the one next to it. That has made every snowflake different than the one next to it. That has made every individual different than the one next to them. I want to go stand before that King. And I want to look him in the eye and just say thank you. Friends, just take a second right now. Look Jesus in the eye. In your heart of hearts, just say thank you. Thank you, God, that I can stand before you. Thank you, God, that my hands are clean and my heart is pure. Thank you, God, that you're going to receive me the way I am right now. Thank you, God, that you don't want me to stay the way I am right now, but you want me to move to the next phase of life, spiritual life. Stand before him. Recognize his beauty. Recognize how holy our King is. Recognize that. His splendor, his majesty, all that he is. Pay attention to it. Smell the smells that are in the kingdom of God. Taste the taste in the kingdom of God. Be with him. Friends, the Spirit of God is here. So often we pray, Holy Spirit, come, but he's everywhere. We got to pray that our eyes would be open, that we'd be able to see him face to face, that we'd be able to recognize his presence, that his presence would come and touch us. You've got to do it. I've got to do it. If we are going to become the spiritual leaders that God needs us to be, we've got to step into this. We've got to recognize that our hands are now clean and our heart is now pure. Friends, your hands are clean and your heart is pure. If you have said yes to Jesus, His blood has covered you. Check this out. We continue in verse 5. You will receive blessing. You will receive blessing. Old Testament, the blessing they received was more land and less deaths in war. Crops would prosper when they follow Jesus. That's not really the blessing that we receive anymore. Do you know what we receive? We receive the joy of the Lord. We receive the peace of God. We receive the grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. We receive a spirit of thanksgiving. We receive a spirit of peace, of joy, of kindness, of goodness. Friends, you receive goodness. Do you recognize how good our King is? Do you recognize how good our King is? He's amazing. His goodness is endless. And he gives it to you. He gives it to me. These are the blessings we're talking about. You might get financial blessings. You might not. Now, what are you going to do with whatever you've been given, how big or little? That's what God wants to know. What are you going to do with it? He will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We'll be considered righteous. We are considered righteous. Hey! Fellow dirty hand people, fellow unpurified heart people, we're considered righteous. We don't deserve this. Right? We don't deserve what God has given us. But he gave it. Hey? This is the good news. This is the change. Now we step forward in joy. Spirit of God, I ask that you would just send a spirit of joy over this congregation right now. Friends, receive his joy. This should lift you up. This should fill you. There should be joy in your heart because of what he has done, and because of who you have become. There is now joy. There's joy. Receive it. Open-handed. Just say, God, bring it on. Just dump your oil of joy all over me. This is what we're talking about. There's righteous. We are considered righteous. We are now saved. Hell is no longer our future home. Heaven is. The kingdom of God is our future home. The king has said, hey, I'm going to make you princes and princesses. And you are going to live in my kingdom. And you're going to reign with me one day. You are going to reign with me one day. I don't know how to reign. I don't know how to do those sorts of things. But God's going to be, my king is going to be with me. My king is going to be with you. And you're going to call him your king. This is who he is and who we are. We are moving now into another area of life. Verse 6 says this, such is the generation of those who seek him. Those who seek the face of the God of Jacob. This is who we are. We are that generation. Cross Connection Church is that generation. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that we are the next generation? You have to believe it. Because if you're just sitting there going, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know that we have what it takes. Do you know who that message is from? It's from Satan. Satan will tell you you don't have what it takes because there's a kingdom in this world right now, a prince of this world right now, and his name is Satan, and he is barking at you right now. He's trying to distract you right now. He's trying to tell you you're not good enough. He's trying to tell you you're not important enough. He's trying to tell you that the hundreds and thousands of sins you've committed over the years will separate you from the King of Kings. He's powerful, and he's tricky. Satan is. And he's going to tell you this stuff, and he's going to find a way to speak it. But here's the thing. Our God, our King, is more powerful. Our God and King has far more authority. Our God and King has the power to shut him up. And our God and King has given us the power to shut Satan up. So all we need to do, and you say this in your heart with me, Satan, you have no right in this church. Satan, you have no authority in this church. You must go now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Satan leaves because he knows the authority and the power we have been given is not our own, but it is Christ's. And as children of God, as princes and princesses, we have been given that authority, and we can now exercise that authority. We're going to talk about that a lot more next week. I'm just going to read the first six verses as a whole right now. And I want you just to open your heart and receive from God. Figure out the transformation that has happened in you. Just pay attention to what God has done in your own life. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek his face, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Selah. Selah is a word describing just to take a minute and relax and let what's been said sink in. Usually with music accompanied, but right now we don't have music, but let's just take a minute. Just relax for a second. Just receive what God has given. Recognize where you are. Just take that second. You know, some of you are wondering, you're reflecting right now and you're saying, I'm not where I want to be right now. I want more from God. I don't want to be where I'm at right now. I want to be at the next phase and I'm not sure how to get there. Can I tell you something? I know how to get you there. And there's other people in this congregation who know as well. We need to be committed to working together. If you want to come talk to me, by all means, come talk to me. I want to help you move from your here to your next, to God's there. And there's other people who know as well. Friends, we've got to be moving. Some of you are sitting here, and I can see it. Some of you are frustrated. You're sitting here going, I know that my hands still feel dirty. And my heart still feels impure. How am I ever going to ascend that hill? How am I ever going to climb that hill? How can I even begin to take the first step towards the path? It's fine. We're here to walk together. And I'm willing to walk with you. But you've got to talk about it. Others are willing to walk with you. You've got to talk about it. We've got to to take that step. We've got to get off our butts and go. We do. We can't just sit over here and expect to get up the hill. We can't just expect God to say, well, you know what, you're just sitting, doing life, you're showing up to church, right? You've done it. You got here. God, I'm going to come up that hill as soon as you bring me. No, really, I will. I'll come. Just you do your work in me. If we don't get off our butts, we will not move. That's the thing. We now have a responsibility. We now have a responsibility. There's a responsibility in us now. The first three sermons were about relationship. Knowing who God is, knowing who we are, walking out in obedience, that's growing, that's moving forward in relationship. Now we have a responsibility to do something. Right? The thing is, okay, I'm going to steal an illustration from John Piper. He said it in a couple sermons that I've heard. It's like this. This is what relationship is like. Walking out in obedience, okay? My little triangle deal, this is a good example. Okay, so say I'm at work. It's Tuesday, 2:30. Okay? And all of a sudden I get this idea. Oh, man. I'm going to get Michelle some flowers. So as soon as work's done, I jump in my truck and I zip over there. There's a little flower shop I went to over there recently. Cute little place. And I pick out, I say, here's my money. Give me the best bouquet you can find, you can build. And they say, all right, cool. Yeah, they do it. So they make it, and they make this beautiful bouquet. And I take that bouquet, and I come home, and I do something different this time. I ring the doorbell, right? And for some remarkable reason, my kids don't answer, and my wife does, okay? And my wife walks up, and she opens the door, and she sees me standing there, and I hand her some flowers, right? And she goes, wow, Rob. Thank you so much for these flowers. These are beautiful. Rob, why did you do this? It's just 2:30 on a Tuesday. It's not an anniversary. It's not a birthday. There's nothing. It's just 2:30 on a Tuesday. And I say to Michelle, I say, honey, I read in a book that good husbands are supposed to do stuff like this because it helps build the relationship. And I want to be a good husband. So I'm giving you these flowers because this will help that. Yeah. Right, Michelle is going to take those flowers and she's going to individually shove each one up my nose and pull it out my ear. Right? Because that's not how it works. We recognize the spirit world is very similar as our world. The ways things work in the spirit are very similar to how they work here. So if I, in same story, Tuesday, 2:30, zip down, go grab the flowers, okay, come home, ring the doorbell, okay, I'm just looking as good as I can, I got the flowers like a nervous teen first day, you know, like, ding dong, Michelle opens the door, and she's like, Rob, what are you doing here? What are you ringing the doorbell for? I said, I just want to give you these because I love you. And she said, what do you mean? Is that why you're giving them? You love me? Yeah, I just love you. This is an overflow of me. I can't help but give these flowers. And Michelle looks at me and goes, yes. And she's going to hold me, and she's going to love me back. See, this is, I may have read it in a book. I may have heard it. But the idea has now been planted in my head that this is a good thing, and I can't wait to do it because it's going to build our relationship. Do you see? So now we have a relationship, and once we have that relationship, then I can move in to responsibility and doing what I've been called to do. So right now, that's what we're doing. This is the next stage. When we understand who our King is and the authority and the power he has, we can then walk out in that authority and power. But until we have the relationship, all this down here is for nothing. Understanding who he is, understanding the authority and the power he's given us, it's nothing. If you don't have relationship with God, the rest of the outpouring of the relationship is nothing. It's just, it's like being roommates with your spouse. We live together. We have all the power and authority that a parent should have. But because there's no relationship, all that power and authority really means nothing. Just ask our kids, right? But if you have relationship, if your kids see mom and dad well, living well together, they see security in that. And then the power and authority that you exercise because of your position as parents or parent, wherever you're at, your kids will recognize that and they will start to obey because they see that security. Friends, we have a security in the King of Kings. We have a security in him. If you have relationship with God and you start walking out as a child of God in obedience, then you start to recognize that he is more than just God. Do you know who Jesus is? Can I paint a quick picture of Jesus for you? Okay, get this. Jesus, our king, he rides around on a white horse. And his robe that he wears is dripping with blood. Hey, catch you later, Sunday school, Jesus. Right? His robe is dripping with blood. His eyes are flaming. And out of his mouth is a sword. And do you know who's following him? His princes and his princesses. His army. The army of the Lord. And they also ride on white horses. But do you know that their linen, the robes they wear, are pure and white? Because the robe, the battle has been fought and won. That's why Jesus is in blood. It's his own blood. He fought and won that battle, making us pure, white, and clean. And now we can ride with him. And there's one more fight that he's going to fight, and that is going to be at the end when he destroys Satan once and for all, puts him in a lake of fire, and binds him so he cannot move. This is our king. This is our king. This is our king. Do you see our king? Our king has done all of this. Our king has taken it to the next step. He has taken it to the next level. He wants to take you to the next step and the next level. Do not fear where you're at now. Do not fear that you may not have what it takes. I'll tell you what, you have what it takes to move to the next level spiritually. You have what it takes because you have Christ in you. If Christ is in you, you have nothing holding you back except for yourself. If you don't get up off your butt and climb that hill, you will never move forward. We will never move forward. I will never move. If I just sit around spiritually, I will never move forward. Verse 7 says this, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors." Anybody get it? No? Lift up your head? No? Maybe? Some of you might get it. Can't tell. I'm still reading faces, still learning the crowd here. Right? "Lift up your heads, O gates." Anybody? That doesn't like just scream awesome to you? No? Okay, we'll work it out. We'll work it out. Okay, here's the deal. Okay? Jesus has done it all. Our King has made it all. We are his. He is ours. We have new life. You have new life. I have new life. We have this new life. We can now move from our stinky, rotten, gross here and move to his there in the Spirit. So now we raise our heads. Whose heads are being rose here? Do you know? The ones who have ascended the hill. The ones who have clean hands and a pure heart. The ones who are able to stand in his holy place. Not grovel in his holy place. I love these round stairs here. It just reminds me of the throne room. I can come into the throne room and I can stand in the holy place of God. I enter in with thanksgiving in my heart. With praise. That's how I go into his courts, right? And I come and I stand in his holy place. That's my friend up there. That king is my friend. So I'm going to lift up my head. I'm going to lift up my head. I'm going to open the gates and just say, God, I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. I worship you. I give it all back to you. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this king? Who is this King of glory? I'll tell you who he is. He is the Lord, strong and mighty. This is our king. Hey, this is our king. He's the Lord, mighty in battle. He fights the battle on our behalf. Right now, there's a spiritual battle happening around this church. I guarantee in this church, there are demons and angels fighting at this very second, fighting for our souls. And Satan is trying so desperately to destroy. And Jesus is just standing there saying, come, come. It's just as easy as getting up and standing up and walking up that hill so you can stand in my place. Just come. Just come. We've got to do something. We have a responsibility now to get up and do something. You're part of the relationship. If that's where you're at, you're part of the relationship, and now you just get up and you walk up to Jesus every day. And we've got to learn how to do this. We've got to learn how to foster this in our every single day. Right? Because right now, it's relatively easy. It's designed. We have beautiful instruments and people who know how to play them and sing and help us enter into worship. And Sunday mornings are great because we come together as one body to feast on the food God has given so we can go out throughout the week and do just overflow that, right? But this cannot be our only meal of the week. Know what I mean? We need more food. I need more food. You need more food, right? We gotta eat. So what's going to happen Tuesday at 2:30? What's going to happen Wednesday at 4:45? When this is kind of worn off, you've got to foster. I've got to foster this. We've got to build into this every single day where we are taking specific time. This is my challenge to you this week. I want you all, please, to find specific time in your day, every day, where you say, God, I give this to you. And some of you are going, I knocked this out of the park already. You know, God, I've been doing this for a long time. What are you doing in that time? Right? Daily bread devotions? I'm not against daily bread devotions. That's a great starting point, maybe. But if that's where you're still at, daily bread devotion, you need to go deeper. There is more to life. There's more to the Spirit. There's more to the Christian living than just your basic devotion. You guys got to grow. We've got to grow. Because if we can get with God at a specific time every single day, then come 4:48 on a Thursday afternoon, all of a sudden we're going, I just am dry. I can't do it. And Jesus says, remember, I'm your king. Remember me? Lift your head, Kate. Lift your head and worship me. Oh yeah, that's right. I'm so used to this because I do it every single day. I just enter your presence all the time that I can do it when I need to. Maybe there's a conflict that you're in with work or family or whatever. And you've got to somehow find strength. The fruit of the Spirit is somewhere in another county. Like it is gone, right? And you just want to scream at somebody, maybe a coworker or something, I don't know.
And you're sitting there going, oh, I can't do this. And God's saying, no, no, you can. Because you've been developing this day after day after day in your own personal life. Come and enter in with me. And Jesus says, yeah, here I am, here I am. And you say, okay. And because you've practiced this, you've been disciplined enough to get up off your butt and climb that hill, you say, I'm in. Jesus, I'm in. 8 seconds, 20 seconds, 40 seconds. All of a sudden you're going, ah, I'm in the presence of God. I can deal with this now. Lift up your heads, O gates. This is what's happened. This is what the king has done. This is what the king has done. Verse 9, lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient of doors, that the king of glory may come in. See, friends, the king already climbed the hill. He's already climbed it. Just follow his footsteps. Who is this king of glory? The Lord of hosts. This is the king of glory. This is our king. I pray that there is never a head down again in this church. That our heads are always up, recognizing God and his glory and his splendor. See, posture matters. When you're reclusive, when you kind of hold yourself back, you can see it. You know you're holding back. But the thing is, when the Spirit of God comes in you, and that fire ignites inside of you, and that life starts to build inside of you, and the joy starts to pour out of you, and that goodness starts to be displayed for all to see, oh, guys, I pray that you let your goodness be seen. Do it. I love being an evangelical, but sometimes evangelicals do things backwards. You know what we do? We say things like, oh, no, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And we hold on to stuff like that. Right, okay, but what about let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven? Hey, what about that? It's a heart condition. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's a heart condition. This isn't from pride that I'm doing this. It's not from pride that I give those flowers to my wife. It's out of an overflow of my heart and my love for her. It's out of an overflow of my heart and my love that I come up here every Sunday and offer what I've been given to you. And it's out of an overflow of your heart that you take the food that you're getting now or Tuesday at 2:30 and that you pour that out into the people around you. And it's out of that same love that you pour back into me so that we work together and God gets glorified in the whole thing. This is what it's all about. This is our king. You want to know the king? This is the king. Are you ready to do the work? Are you ready to be disciplined? So that you can grow. We've got to do the work. This isn't legalistic. This is now an overflow of the relationship. All right? Yes! I'm seeing heads shaking. Either you're just like, zip it, dude. I'm done. Or, I don't know. But maybe I'm just taking it as a you get it. Let's pray. And we'll just invite the worship team to come back up. God, we love you. We love you, God. I would love to see this church grow more and more and more in love with you and who you are. And we are, God. I'm seeing fruit already in people's lives. I'm seeing you move. God, you don't want us to be stagnant. You don't want us to just sit back and do nothing. You want us to stand up and climb that holy hill and stand in your presence because our hands are clean and our hearts are pure. We are now righteous. We are now saved. We are now blessed. Now, God, we want to give back in worship to you right now. We want to give back in worship to you right now, specifically through song, God. Just singing, saying, God, we love you. We love who you are. We love who you are. We're just going to give it all to you. So, God, would you just help us, Lord, to take it to the next step? Would you give us the grace to move to the next step, whatever that is for each one of us? And God, would you let us know that you are always with us in this step? And would you let us know that we are not alone and we have each other and your Spirit in all of us, God, who have said yes to you. So we pray, Lord, that you would just speak, Lord, even now. In Jesus' name, amen.